Good morning. Please open your Bibles to Acts in chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we already noticed a few things about Peter. And I just want to review a couple things that just came to my mind as I reread. It's kind of how this goes for me anyway. I usually reread the previous lesson to build the next lesson, and to you that appears like I'm repeating myself, and that's true. But for me, it makes it flow, and I learn better through repetition, through practice, through. I don't get it the first time. Sometimes I don't get it the second time, and that's just the way we are, I think, as humans in the flesh, and I'm worse than some probably, but it's good to keep going over this. It's good, and I learn little by little in the study of the Holy Spirit that I don't know very much, but I want to know more. And the more I learn, and the more I study it, the more I'm intrigued, the more I'm fascinated with the Spirit and with how the Spirit interacts in this life. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 19, the Bible says, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee." And I thought back to verse 17. "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean," and I thought, doubt is our natural reaction, it seems like. Why is that? Why do we doubt? Why does the still small voice speak to us and then we doubt? I mean, it's instantly, it seems like, for me. You know, I hear that whisper and, oh no, that's not the still small voice. Or oh no, I can't do that. Or oh, whatever. Doubt just boom right away. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this church and for the assembly here and for the believers that make up this church. And we just praise you for how you work in our life, how you bring us together. We thank you for this opportunity where we can assemble together and worship, spend a little bit of time in thy word and listen to the preaching and be edified and be strengthened in the faith. We just pray that you would work in our heart, that you would speak to us by that still small voice, that you would teach us a little more about you, a little more about Jesus, a little more about the Spirit. We just pray that all things would be said and done to thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I continued to read Acts chapter 10, and I noticed the technique of a question again in verse 21. "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come?" How did Peter know what to ask? How did he know? How did he know that the right approach or the thing to do would be to ask a question? How did he know that? I'm here to tell you, I don't think it was necessarily just him in the flesh that thought that up. I believe Peter had a still small voice. And you know what? Peter didn't let it go to his head. Look in verse 26. "Peter took him up as Cornelius was falling at his feet, and he said, Stand up." Peter took him up. Cornelius had fell down at Peter's feet to worship him, and Peter grabbed him, said, no, get up. He says, "I myself am just a man. I'm just a man. I'm just like you." When someone receives wisdom from you or me, yeah, it happens once in a while, not very often. But when they receive wisdom, they're very appreciative. Right? I mean, especially if it's believer to believer, they're very appreciative. And they might have a tendency, oh, thank you. It's not me. It's that still small voice, Peter says. It's not me. I'm just a man. But with a little practice, with a little determination, I can get better at hearing that still small voice. And then with courage given by God, acting on it. And my computer shut off again. We noticed several verses in the book of Acts, mainly between, I believe it was chapters 8 and chapter 16. And the word search that I used was the Spirit. And I just noticed something last night as I was reviewing this. Those search results of the Spirit and that exact phrase, those search results in Acts chapter 8 through 16 were almost all capital S. And I noticed that a little bit, and I thought, well, is that significant? Is that something I should research? Well, I think it is. I think it is significant. And what I was blessed by was the picture of spiritual growth that I got from just noticing the capital S and the lack of it. Because our next list of verses for this morning are, I believe they're all small lowercase S. And where we're going to be is we're going to be in Acts 18 through 20. So keep that in mind as we go down through here for just a little bit. In the study of the awareness of the still small voice, and that is an aspect of my title of this series is God with us, but in the study of that awareness, there is both implication to salvation in and of itself and implication to godly living, life, daily life, hourly life, minutely life. Can I say it that way? There's this, the Spirit is there for all of that. The Spirit is there for that big, huge transition of salvation. And then every minute after that. You know, I don't know what I don't know about how the Spirit works before salvation. I don't know. I'm not studying that. I don't know if it does or doesn't. I know that your hearing is pretty well hindered before salvation. I mean, it's hindered. It takes a miracle for that hearing to be turned on. I believe that's quickened. But this Spirit, this is the person of God for this age that we're in. And I know I'm guilty of underestimating that. I'm guilty of not reverencing that for what it is. We say things like God has forgotten us, and we get, I think we say that too much. Because then we start to believe it. He's not forgotten us. He's given us His Spirit for this age that we're in. That's awesome. God's right here. He's right here. In Acts 18 and verse 5, I'll try to get moving on this and get done on time. Acts 18 and verse 5, and the Bible says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit." Pressed in the Spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, if you're saved, I believe you were pressed in the Spirit at salvation. That's what I believe. I believe you were pressed. Just like Paul. Paul was pressed in the Spirit, not in this case, in this verse, is not about his salvation, but it's about what something after that. He was pressed in the spirit to do something, to say something, to be an influence on those that are in his presence, to hear him. Pressed in the spirit. Pressed is it speaks to me of, it's more than a passing thought. It's more than just a burden or a preference. It's a yearning of necessity. It's, if I don't say this, I think I'm going to explode. If I don't do this, I have to do this. Pressed in the spirit. It's a yearning of necessity, a compelling, a constrainment, if you will. The love of Christ constrains us. It constrains. Think on that word. Pressed in the spirit, constrained. Constrained, it feels to me like I just got to go. Pressed in the spirit, the Bible says. How about that? Pressed in the spirit in that transition to life through salvation. And then pressed in the spirit like Paul was right here. To be an influence. To have positive impact on someone else. What are we here for? Pressed in the spirit towards salvation, it's a miracle of supernatural proportions, isn't it? But only the beginning. Because consistently, after that initial heart change, the Lord gives the believer opportunity to be an influence to others by pressing him in the spirit. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would press me more often. I mean, I don't know what that's going to do. I don't know where that's going to take me. But I want to experience that. I'm fascinated with that. I'm even maybe infatuated with that. Is that wrong? Believers are used by the Lord to share conviction, to facilitate learning in other believers. You know, little disclaimer, the understanding of those things in the hearer, that's all of the Lord. It's not based on how well I'm an influence. It's not based on my talent or skill as an orator. I think that's a word, orator, that speaker. But it's entirely on the spirit and that listener's ability to hear if God chooses to give them that. We don't have to worry about that stuff. We don't have to worry. I believe God will bless us as individuals, as believers, just by the fact that we're determined to hear and to act. And whether it produces results or product, that's all up to the Lord, and it doesn't matter to me. In Acts 18 and verse 24, you can find the name Apollos. And the Bible, Paul begins to write about Apollos. Here in verse 25, the Bible says, "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." And as I thought about that speaking here, you know, it's real easy to just say, well, that's talking about a pastor or a preacher, someone called to preach, and doesn't really apply to me. Think again, because speaking and teaching, I feel like is synonymous to being an influence, to just being a believer, being a salt and a light. It's synonymous. Now, yes, is the one that's called to preach got a special application here? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean it doesn't apply to me. We all influence others in one way or another, for better or for worse. And I don't like to think about that. I don't like to think about everything I do being some kind of a positive or negative influence on everyone that knows me, sees me, or whatever. We need to be burdened about that. We need to be burdened. What is my testimony before men, all men, not just men that I know personally, but all men? So the phrases I want to notice in Acts 18:25 is fervent in spirit, knowing only the baptism of John. Fervent in spirit, knowing only the baptism of John. Knowing only a little is still capable of being an influence. Fervent, the Bible says he was. Apollos was fervent in the Spirit. And being fervent in the Spirit, guess what that did? That bridged the gap of his lack of knowledge, didn't it? And he was empowered with things beyond his capability, beyond his knowledge. He was empowered. Because why? Because he was fervent in the Spirit. He was paying attention to that still small voice. He was practicing his listening skills. Fervent. Fervent seems, it speaks to me of zealousness or willing to act, maybe not just willing, but determined. And I'm not saying this is done without wisdom. There's absolutely wisdom, but it's to be taken into account. But it's moving forward. It's moving forward. Fervent in spirit, even if you don't know much, moving forward. Not paralyzed by fear, and I don't know why that keeps coming into my head, but fear holds us back. And the devil loves to use fear. Fear, and the best word that I can think of is paralysis. Fear will paralyze you. It paralyzes me. And we think to ourselves, I gotta overcome fear. I don't know that fear is a disease to be healed necessarily. I don't think there's a pill you can take. Fear will always be there, but courage is more. And the pressed in the Spirit is more. Fervent in the Spirit is more than fear. I believe God's given us everything we need. Everything we need. And since fear exists, and it always will, if God has given us everything we need, then fear's already overcome. We just don't know it. We just have trouble understanding that. I believe we'll get less fearful the closer we draw to God, the better we hear that still small voice. And the more fervently we act on it. Acts 19 and verse 21. Acts 19:21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul purposed in the Spirit. What is that? What is purposed in the Spirit? A burden of heart and mind, a thought that won't go away, a still small voice perhaps. Purposed in the Spirit. It speaks to me of determination. You know, and I think we have a progression here, and just chronologically, but also in these phrases, we've seen pressed, fervent, and then purposed, and next we're going to see bound. So to me, that's building towards courageous action. You know, pressed in the Spirit, that's all within. Fervent in the Spirit is beginning to be without. It's determination that's setting in and turns into purpose. And then we'll see in a minute, bound. Purposed in the Spirit. Am I purposed to be pressed and fervent in the Spirit? Am I practicing my awareness of the still small voice? And again, we don't have assurance of a productive result. We don't really have assurance of an outcome in the fashion in which we imagine it to be the greatest. We don't have that assurance. We do have the assurance that Jesus says, I am with you always. We have that. We also have the assurance that all things work together for good. And that's maybe not my good, that might be their good. All things work together for good. Acts 20 and verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I go bound in the Spirit. Action is following the still small voice, the fervency of the hearer. It is creating purpose in his heart, and he is then bound to act, to go, to do what the still small voice has burdened his heart with. I go bound unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Action will or should follow the still small voice speaking. It should. I think most of the time it doesn't. That's the way it is for me. The action part falls off somehow. I either ignored it, or I underestimated it, or I doubted it, or just didn't want to hear it. Chose not to hear the Spirit. Is that possible in a believer? I think it is. I think a believer can be calloused in one way or another, in a way that his hearing's kind of shut off. Doesn't mean the Spirit can't break through it. But how is my hearing today? How is your hearing today? And remember, if Paul's talking about being bound in the Spirit, he's determined, he's fervent, he's purposed, and he doesn't have any assurance of outcome. He says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. It's okay to not have all the answers for where I'm going, what I'm doing. And that was really hard to say. It's okay. Paul says, it's okay. I'm bound, I'm going, and it's okay that I don't know what's going to happen to me. It's going to be okay. I've said that to my wife and daughter lately. It's going to be okay. And apparently there's a song about it. I don't know, but Does the Spirit, does the still small voice say that to you today? It's going to be okay. If you say no to that question, the Spirit's not saying that to me. Are you listening hard enough? I believe we can feel the sense here and the principle that the Spirit is saying, it's going to be okay. Oh, the ride might be a little rough, but it's going to be okay. Jesus said he's coming back. That's a promise of God. What does anything else really matter? Now, the capital S and the small s. It's interesting to me that at first, in Acts 8 through 16, the majority of those verses, those references to the Spirit, were in capital S. And it speaks to me of just in the beginning of the relationship with God, the individual has some serious one-on-one, person-to-person interaction with the Spirit. I believe the quickening turns them. I mean, there's a face-to-face meeting there as literally as we can from the human to the Spirit. And in those verses, and then after that, it changes a little bit, although it's still very dramatic and very, very important. But it speaks to me of spiritual growth. It speaks to me of an awakening and then a constant encouragement. In Acts 8 through 16, it seemed to be a very proper noun. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. And He is God to us for this age. He is here. And He speaks to us. Let's remind ourselves that there's great strength in that. There's great courage building aspects of that. We should be dwelling on that thought and deriving strength from it, encouraging one another in the faith in this area. I believe the still small voice in that analogy, it fits very well with both the capital S and the small s. The small s that we noticed in Acts 18 through 20, it doesn't really seem to be a proper noun so much as it is a description of a mindset or a state of mind or a burden of heart, which that's what's going to follow a quickening or an awakening. When the Spirit speaks to you the first time, it's going to be like, whoa, what was that? But the second and the third and the thousandth and the millionth time, it's going to be, oh yeah, I know you, and I need to listen to you. Because you were there that day that I discovered Jesus. And you're there for me every day after that. In the still small voice. Fervent, purposed, and bound. First, there is an encounter with the Spirit, like an epiphany and a great awakening. And then, because of that heart change and the spiritual breath of life, the mindset changes. The awareness of the spiritual side of things changes in the being, in your heart, in your mind. And what a wonderful thing. I mean, God's chosen it to be this way. And I don't understand all the mechanics of it, but I believe the more intentional that we are in our spiritual growth journey, the more we practice the art of listening to the still small voice, that it will appear to be a part of us. It will begin to have this character trait of dwelling in the Spirit or attentiveness to the Spirit. And to God be the glory for that. I mean, it's because of His mercy and grace that we even have the still small voice. And it's also because of His mercy and grace that we have any desire to hear it. I want to form a habit. We have a lot of habits, don't we? Some of them not so good. I want to form a habit of listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will change you. It will change you in salvation. And then once you are changed, the Spirit continues to speak to your spirit, continuing to change you for the better, or for the better of someone. I'm not sure exactly how all that's possible mechanically. My engineering mind wants to break it down, wants to put it in step-by-step process. And I can't do that. I'm not sure how all that works and how it all comes together. I don't know what I don't know about it. But I'm pretty sure that I need to draw nearer to God through the Spirit. And there is tremendous power and comfort there. I believe we can live a life in a promised land if we're determined to. If we're determined to. Pressed in the Spirit, fervent in the Spirit, purposed in the Spirit, bound in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the way, the method, the person that God has chosen to interact with us in this church age. God is with us. Just like Jesus said. Is that a comfort and a strength to you today? Let's keep pressing towards that mark. Let's keep pressing on. We've got everything we need. Live life in a promised land. I'm a little early. I'm going to have to stop there because I don't want to start the next reference. I'm going to give it its due process. So hope these thoughts have been a blessing to you.
Yeah. Oh.